In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family. Great to be with you. And as always, we'd like to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us, our spiritual mother. And we pray to Mary in that beautiful prayer as we conclude the Rosary. The Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So as we begin our Perseverance family conversation this morning, let's initiate our family conversation by praying the prayer that Mary loves most. The prayer that Mary loves most is the Hail Mary. So let's turn to Mary and ask her to pray with us, to be with us, to encourage us and to strengthen us by her prayers. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many names. The Holy Spirit is known as a Paraclete. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the Holy Spirit the gift of gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier, he who makes us holy. The Holy Spirit is also known as the counselor, he who gives us right advice. The Holy Spirit is also known as the consoler. So in the midst of our desolation, he's there to console us. The Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. Very important for us in our Perseverance family because St. Paul reminds us we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, Father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of joy, in the interior fire of love. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. St. Bridget of Sweden, pray for us. St. Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Faustina, pray for us. Our guardian angels, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my friends, to encourage all of us today, I'd like to offer my prayers for your intentions during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can call that Opus Dei, the work of God. I'd like to pray, placing all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to offer especially three intentions. First of all, that all of us will strive to become saints. Leon Bloy said that the biggest tragedy in our life would be if we don't become the saint that God has called us to be. Matthew Kelly says we should be the best version that God has planned for us. The best version that God has called us to be. So let us strive, my friends, to attain holiness of life. My second intention will be to pray for your family and your children. In these weeks of vacation, it may not be vacation for you, but these are days in which your children may have free time. Pray for them that they would really use their time well, that they would not give in to sloth or laziness, but rather utilize their time to develop themselves physically, emotionally, socially, but especially morally and spiritually. Try to bring them to daily Mass. Make sure that they help out at home with their chores. Get them out of the house to play sports. That's good for them. Allow them to cultivate good friendships. Also, get them to read. The habit of good reading. Among our best friends should be our books. A good book can be the salvation, whereas a bad book could be damnation, leading people down the wrong path. Because what we do in our lives depends upon what we think in our minds. We want to fill our minds with good and holy thoughts, so that we have good decisions, good actions, and that forms good virtues, that forms our personality, and finally our eternal destiny. Good books. Also, may your children cultivate their God-given talents. Might be musical, it might be artistic, it might be art, it might be communication, it might be writing, some type of hobby. In other words, we're all given talents, not to hide beneath the ground, as Jesus says, but to cultivate. Let us cultivate the God-given talents that God has given to us. Finally, my last intention will be that all of us will have a strong desire to grow in our prayer life. Not to stagnate, but to grow in our prayer life. If you find yourself floundering, a spiritual director, Teresa of Avila, said to her, Teresa, if you really want to flourish and grow in your prayer life, he said, pray to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the beginning of our talk every morning, we pray to Mary, but then also we pray to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit is the one that will be our teacher. He'll enlighten our minds and ignite our hearts, that we'll be able to enter into dialogue with God. So that's my prayer intentions for you. Today is Friday. It's a day in which we call to mind the Passion of Christ. Friday is a day in which we also are called to do some type of penance. Jesus himself said, unless you do penance, you'll perish. So let's choose some type of penance, some type of mortification today to unite our sufferings to Christ on the cross for the salvation of many souls. Our Lady Fatima said that many souls are lost because we don't pray enough for them. God wants to save the world, but he wants to save the world through us. True, God could have saved the world by himself, but he wants us to collaborate with him. Maybe you remember the story I told of the church that was bombarded in Germany, and the crucifix was greatly destroyed. The hands, the arms, the feet, the legs had fallen off the crucifix, kind of like this. And they had the corpus there. The priest, being very original, wrote down below, "Jesus needs your hands and your feet." How true. Jesus needs your hands and your feet and your voice to preach his word. So, today, Friday, let's offer something to the Lord, some type of sacrifice for our own sins and reparation for the sins of the world. Today, my friends, very briefly today, I'd like to just give you a word or two on the saint that we celebrate today. Then we'll go into the readings. The readings are very rich today, as always. Today we celebrate a mother, a mystic, a foundress, a woman of great gifts. Her name is Saint Bridget of Sweden. Saint Bridget of Sweden lived to be 70. She was born in 1303 and died at 1373. She lived at the same time as Saint Catherine of Siena, when you had more than one pope, and she coaxed the pope to come from Avignon back to Rome. She was canonized in 1391. She's a co-patron of Europe with Catherine of Siena. She married when she was 13 years of age, had 8 children, and was a great mystic. Some of you have probably heard, or maybe even done, the special prayers of Saint Gertrude. She had especially visions of the Passion of Christ. And if you do the Liturgy of the Hours in your breviary, it's one of the most beautiful prayers that you can encounter on the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a certain practice to pray these prayers a whole year. These prayers are very, very beautiful. So, Saint Bridget became a very, very powerful mystic. After her husband died, she wanted to live a life of great poverty. She became a member of the Third Order of St. Francis. She actually founded a religious order known as the Order of the Most Holy Savior, which are known as the Bridgetines, for men and women. Bridget showed love and concern for the poor and the sick, and many people came to help her. She also did a great deal of penance in her life. She made many pilgrimages to Italy and to the Holy Land. She spent her last years in Rome. And she suffered the death of her husband, the death of her son. She went through shipwreck. She suffered debts, opposition to reform. In other words, the lives of saints are filled with trials and crosses and tribulations. But they have great trust and confidence in God. So that's a summary of Saint Bridget of Sweden. Let's pray to the saint that we would also become saints. As Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. To the readings today, are very interesting in this sense. We've arrived at the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, Psalm 19, and Matthew 13. A brief overview of our readings today. And our daily nourishment, my friends, is the Word of God. We should really have a great hunger for the Word of God. You remember when Jesus was in the desert being tempted by the devil? First temptation of the devil for Jesus was he told Jesus, why don't you turn the stones into bread? And Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Jesus is placing a priority over our body. He's placing it over our mind and the Word of God. We should have hunger, even more hunger, for the Word of God. And that's why we're here every morning, trying to supply for you a very rich spiritual banquet of the Word of God. Okay, today, the first reading is long. It's very, very rich and important for us. Because today, in Exodus chapter 20, my friends, we have God giving to Moses the Ten Commandments. God giving to Moses the Ten Commandments. So let's spend some time going through the Ten Commandments. In the Gospel today, we can connect with the Ten Commandments in this way. That earlier this week, Jesus gave us the parable of the sower. The sower is Jesus. The seed is the Word of God. The different terrains would be our hearts. And the different response to the seed falling on the ground. Well, today, basically, God is a sower, and He wants to sow in our hearts, in our minds, the Ten Commandments. Not only to know the Ten Commandments, but also to try to put them into practice. So Jesus said this, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. So love is not measured by feelings or emotion. Some people feel that their spiritual life depends upon feelings. That's very dangerous. Our spiritual life does not depend upon feelings, but by trying to obey God's commandments. Obedience to God's commandments. Now the Ten Commandments, that I'd like to go through them, I'd like to go through the list and explain some of them, can be divided into two groups. And if you look at the cross here, this is a good way to divide the commandments. You look at the cross, you have two different dimensions. You have the vertical part of the cross going up. And also you have the horizontal part of the cross going outward in two directions. So the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical related commandments refers to our relationship with God. The theological dimension of the commandments. And that would be the first, second, and third commandment. Whereas the horizontal bar, the one that goes out to the right and to the left, would be our social relationships and our personal relationships. Our relationship to our brothers and sisters and our own relationship to ourselves. So when we go through the commandments, remember the cross, the vertical bar that goes up, the theological dimension, and the horizontal bar that goes out, which would be the social dimension. So here's a joke for you, all of you like jokes. Who was the first one that broke all the Ten Commandments together? I'll ask you again. Who was the first person that broke all the commandments together from 1 to 10? Was Moses when he came down from the mount and broke the tablets of the law? I thought you'd like that. So Moses broke the two tablets of the law. He broke all the commandments together. He had to go up and get them again because the people were practicing idolatry. They were worshiping a golden calf. So Moses. So let's go through the Ten Commandments. And if you don't have the Ten Commandments memorized, today you got a lot of verses, but what the church has done in time is summarize this passage in just a few words. Now the Protestants have a different order of the Ten Commandments. So if you do not have the Ten Commandments memorized, you might make a proposal. Maybe this can be your Lenten practice. Try to memorize the Ten Commandments. I finished giving a four-week seminar, four different hour talks to the Jóvenes para Cristo on the conscience. What is the conscience? How do we form the conscience? What is a deformed conscience? What is a well-formed conscience? And last night I just went through, and I went through a couple of the commandments. What do we examine our conscience on? It's the moral law given from God, and that moral law given from God are the Ten Commandments. So let's go through the commandment. Then I'd like to take at least start with one of the commandments and explain it to you. It would really merit many classes of perseverance, many talks to be able to go through the Ten Commandments in detail, but we can start. So these are the Ten Commandments, and see if we can make an effort to memorize these commandments. But not simply to memorize the commandments, but also to try to put into practice the commandments. Because Jesus says, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do the will of my heavenly Father. The Ten Commandments. Number one. And number one is the most important of all the commandments. And that is, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. I am the Lord your God, you shall not have strange gods before me. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number three, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. So number one, two, and three refer to our relationship with God. It's the, you might call it the theological dimension of the Ten Commandments. Now four to ten are our social relationships and our personal relationships. Fourth is honor your father and your mother. The fifth, you shall not kill. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. The eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. The tenth commandment, you shall not cover your neighbor's goods. Those, my friends, are the Ten Commandments. So what I'd like to do today is related to the gospel where Jesus says the sower goes out to sow the seed. The seed falls on the footpath, the thorns and the rocks, and good ground, and bears forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Let's pray that we would be a good terrain, good ground in which the Ten Commandments can sink into our minds, but go from our minds into our hearts. Because it's not sufficient to simply know the commandments, but also we have to put them into practice. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has many pages going through the Ten Commandments. And I'd have to say this, we will not be able to live out and put into practice the commandments if we don't have the grace of God. We have great need of the grace of God to be able to put into practice the Ten Commandments. So we should be begging for the grace to put these commandments into practice. So I'd like to take the first commandment. And I said earlier, the first commandment, my friends, is the foundation of all the other commandments. In a certain sense, it's the most important of all the commandments, is number one. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to explain this in a little bit different way. And this is not going to be exhaustive, my explanation. The first commandment, there's a lot of ramifications of the first commandment. I'd like to go through how can we observe this commandment and how do we break the commandment. So this is a little bit different explanation than normal. Normally you explain the commandments, ways in which we break the commandments. But I'd like to give it a positive twist and relate this first commandment to what Jesus was asked in Luke chapter 10. Man came up to Jesus and said, Lord, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus said, the greatest of all the commandments is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, then to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus, in that response, gives us a summary of all the commandments. Loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then to love our neighbor as ourself. But the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God, you shall not have other or strange gods before me. One way in which we can put into practice the first commandment is by all of us striving on a daily basis to grow deeper and deeper in our prayer life. I repeat, if we really want to go and live out the first commandment, we strive to go deeper and deeper in our prayer life. I put together a five-word acronym on five different ways in which we can grow in our prayer life. I call it the five M's of our prayer life. So if we can take this seriously, the five M's of our prayer life, you look at my hand, there's an M in my hand, there are five fingers. I'm not one of those curanderos or adivinos, no? I'm not that, I'm just a teacher utilizing healthy acronyms, devices to help our memory. So these are the five M's of your prayer life. I think this can be pretty helpful to all of us. The first M is morning prayer. So as soon as we get up in the morning, if we really want to love God fully and totally, soon as we get up in the morning, we can be either like Cain or Abel. Cain gave God his leftovers, whereas Abel gave God his best. Are you Cain or Abel? Or is your name Cain Abel? Like Abel, we want to give God our first fruits, our first thoughts, our first words, our first conversation, the first affections of our heart. We want to give that to God through Mary, saying that act of consecration, we give Jesus everything we have through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that's the first, morning prayer. The second M would be mealtime prayer. That's right. Mealtime prayer. What does that mean? Every time we sit down at the table with our family, we have our meal. We shouldn't dive into the meal. But rather, we should always begin our mealtime by saying grace and thanking God for the fact that we have something to nourish us. Being keenly aware of the fact that there are many people throughout the world who are dying of hunger. There are many people in the world who have no food, no refrigerator. There was once a little child around Thanksgiving. He wrote this prayer to God. He said, God, I thank you that I can choose the food that I eat. There are many people that do not choose the food that they can eat because they don't have any food to eat at all, much less a refrigerator. So with your family, say grace. It's not long. Blessed is the Lord and these are gifts which we are about to receive from your bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Saying grace. Saying grace. The third M. What is that? Well, that's why we come together every day in our perseverance family, and that would be meditation on the Word of God. That's what we're doing today. By means of communication, by means of speech, by means of teaching, we're trying to learn how to meditate upon the Word of God. Today we're trying to form our conscience, so to speak. The formation of our conscience is so very important. The formation of conscience. Meditate upon the Word of God. Follow a method that I've taught you. It's a five-step method. When you're reading the Word of God, lectio, read. Second, memorize. Try to memorize these commandments. General interpretation, what is God saying in general by this biblical passage? I think obviously as God wants us to know the commandments and put them into practice, that's universal. Fourth would be the personal interpretation. Maybe there's one or two of the commandments that I'm really striving to put into practice, but I keep falling because of weakness, lack of prayer, and lack of vigilance. And then finally, the fifth step is, yes, to put into practice. So, morning prayer, meal blessing, meditation on the Word of God. In the fourth M would be this. Mass and Holy Communion. Mass is the fourth M. Mass and Holy Communion. I hope and pray that the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the very center of your life. I begin our conversation every morning by saying I'm praying for you. And it's true. But how am I praying for you? I'm praying for you by placing all of you on the altar when I will celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Place you on the altar when I celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So, inasmuch as it is possible, you want to go to Mass, you want to participate fully, actively, and consciously in Mass, and you also want to, being in the state of grace, of course, being, of course, in the state of grace, you want to receive Holy Communion. So everything I'm saying to you, my friends, is a way in which we can be putting into practice the first commandment. So by going to Mass and participating fully, actively, and consciously in Mass, being in the state of grace, going up with great reverence, bowing to the Lord, receiving the Eucharist with faith, devotion, and love, then praising our Lord in your hearts, then bringing Christ to others. That's the fourth M. And the fifth M would be that of Mary and the Rosary. Mary, love Mary, and to pray the Most Holy Rosary. Mary is very pleased when we pray the Holy Rosary. Once, many people are tempted not to pray the Rosary. One occasion, Saint Alphonse Liguori, a saint that had great love for Mary, and he wrote the Glories of Mary. Woman approached him and said, you know, when I pray the rosary, I get a lot of temptations. St. Alphonse says, that's a good sign. The devil's angry at you. The devil's angry at you because as a result of the rosary, souls are being saved. And he's not happy about that. Pope St. John the 23rd, was canonized with John Paul II. He said this: the only bad or poor rosary is the rosary that was never prayed. He says that the only rosary, poor rosary, is the rosary that was never prayed. So whether or not you have distractions or not, pray the rosary anyway. So those who are tuning in now, what I'm doing, I'm going through the readings of the Word of God, how the gospel is a sower, and God wants to sow in our minds and heart the first reading, which are the Ten Commandments. And we went through the Ten Commandments at the beginning of our conversation. And we invite all of you to memorize the commandments, but also to put them into practice. So I'm giving you a unique interpretation of the commandments. And we're taking the first commandment. Now I'm going to speak to you about how we can break the first commandment. There are many ways, but I'd like to take one for lack of time. But the one I'll explain is pretty extensive. And it's this. It is the practice of idolatry. That's right, the practice of idolatry. The practice of idolatry. Well, some of you might be saying, well, Father Broom, you know, in the time of Moses, you spoke about this when Moses went up on the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments and he came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Then he was so angry that the people were adoring a golden calf that he broke the Ten Commandments. They're worshiping an idol. I don't worship an idol. I do not have a golden calf on my hearth, in my living room, in my bedroom. Okay, I believe you. But I think that there's a much more extensive interpretation of idol than the most obvious that we see in the book of Exodus when Moses breaks the Ten Commandments because they're worshiping the golden calf. I think there's much more wide, extensive interpretation. And it's this. What is idolatry? What is an idol? This is my definition of what an idol is. An idol is whenever we place any person, place, thing, object, circumstance, even idea, above God. I repeat. The nature of an idol is whenever we place any person, place, thing, circumstance, idea above God. Because our God is a jealous God. And Jesus explained it very clearly that the first and the greatest of all the commandments is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul and strength, then to love our neighbors ourselves. So idolatry can be much more extensive and maybe more sophisticated than simply bowing down in front of a golden calf. We all have, I think, certain idols in our lives that maybe we're not even aware of. I'd like to tell you a story. It kind of illustrates the point. For many years in our parish, I formed a missionary team in which once a week we would spend the morning visiting homes, knocking on doors, trying to bring back the straying Catholics. Because the biggest religious group in our country are non-practicing Catholics. That is true also in Mexico and South America and Europe. The biggest group are the nuns, those who do not practice their faith anymore. The wandering sheep, the prodigal sons and daughters. So I formed this missionary team, and we would visit homes in the parish. Most of the people would open up their doors to us because they're Catholic. Some would not, because there'd be maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or non-believers, and they simply didn't want us to go to their house. So we respected that, of course. But talking about idolatry as a means by which we're breaking the first commandment, we knocked on the door, and it was right around Christmas. It was right around Christmas, I think the week before Christmas, or maybe even the day after Christmas, right around the Christmas time. When I entered this Catholic house, I'll never forget, the entrance to the house, there were three statues at the entrance to the house. And very clear, very evident statues. In a very prominent place. Three statues. And this was a Catholic family. Remember, the first statue was a statue, Catholic family now, of Buddha. Buddha! This big, majestic statue of Buddha. Then, there was another big, prominent statue. Remember, it was Christmas season. Of Santa Claus. It was one of those Santa Clauses where you could take a plug, and it was an electronic statue where you could light him up. Both of them were very big. Then on the side, to the corner, was a small, dirty statue with his arm broken, and it was the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Never forget that experience. Because I really believe that that experience, was a symbolic token of what happens in many homes and many families today, in which we place a Buddha, we place a Santa Claus, we place something else above God. And that's the nature. That's the nature of idolatry. We place any person, place, or thing above God. I'd like to tell you another story to help us to recognize that we probably do have an idol in our lives, but we don't recognize it to be an idol. For lack of a really good formation of our conscience. For lack of spiritual direction. For lack of maybe a frequent confession. And it's this. Teresa Tomio, probably about 20 years ago, she published a book. And the name of the book was Noise, how we live in a society where we're bombarded by so many noises. And she tells a story about a family that was basically ruined because of they invited a new guest into their house. So this is the story. Family, husband, wife, and daughter. Happy family. Catholic family. A believing family. But they decided of mutual accord to invite a guest to live with them. But this guest was very different from them. This guest was very liberal, would dress sometimes provocatively, but also was a non-stop speaker. This person never got tired of speaking around the clock. And was very liberal in the views in which this person accepted abortion, contraception, all the immoral things that are engulfing our society. And was not afraid to express these liberal views. Now the family listening to this guest for a long time, the mother, the father, the daughter started to accept the same viewpoint of this guest. This guest was a non-stop speaker, very convicted, very opinionated, very strong in speech. Finally, the daughter decided to marry this young man and then to go with her husband to a new house. And this daughter, with her husband, invited to live with her new family a guest just like the guest that her parents invited. I purposely held back the name of this guest until now. This is 20 years ago. The name of the guest is the television. That's right. The name of the guest is the television. Now many of you are probably shocked in listening to this. The television. Today it would not be simply the television. Today it would be the internet. Or the telephone. Powerful story, right? The first canonized American saint was Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. I repeat, the first American canonized saint was Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. She lived in the time of George Washington, 1776. She had a prophetic dream. This incredibly holy woman, whose wife and mother and foundress, teacher. And this is what she saw. This was what she saw in 1776. She saw a black box. That's right, a black box that would enter into the American homes. And this black box would be instrumental in destroying many American households. How would you interpret this black box? How would you interpret that black box? Well, years ago it would be the invention of the television. Still, that would be applicable. But today it would be not only the invention of the television, but as a whole, the electronics media. Not to say TV, radio, internet is bad. I spend a lot of time every day by teaching and preaching and communicating and catechizing right now through the social media. Because this can be an incredible platform. One of our viewers is tuning in from South Africa. They can tune in from all over the world. So this can be a platform, a pulpit that can be very efficacious if used properly. But if not used properly, the social media can be a source of condemnation. So my friends, what I've done today, I've just introduced you to the moral code of the Catholic Church, the Ten Commandments. And what I've done is this, I've just taken the first commandment and I've explained to you a way in which we can observe the commandment by growing in our prayer life. Remember the five M's: morning prayer, mealtime blessing, meditation on the Word of God, Mass, Mary and the Rosary. Then I've given you a way in which we can be breaking the Ten Commandments, and that's by means of idolatry. And the nature of an idol is when we place any person, place, or thing above God. Before giving you my priestly blessing, I'd like to ask you for prayer, because in a half hour from now at 9 o'clock Pacific time, I will be a guest on Relevant Radio. Josh Ryan has asked me to be a guest about once a month on Relevant Radio, and we'll be talking about, my friends, the Gospel for Sunday. Most specifically, we'll be talking about the reality of miracles. The reality of miracles. So, I ask for your prayers, because Relevant Radio is a platform on which we're touching thousands of people throughout the country. So, ask for your prayers. And of course, I will pray for you. May God bless you. I'd like to impart my priestly blessing on each and every one of you and your families. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you and your family members in a very, very special way today, that you would not be dominated by idols, but you'd be dominated and possessed by God's Spirit. And may Almighty God bless all of you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.